The opinions expressed in the Spirited Sports Podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Spirited Sports. Toldy Kakaletris, Nick DiCicco, Elias Drakos, and many more break down the biggest moments, game-changing plays, and the stories behind the athletes. Whether you live for the thrill of victory, the hustle of the underdog, or just love a great sports conversation, you're in the right place. This is Spirited Sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spirit of Sports. How's it going? We have another exciting episode for you here today. It is another packed studio session here for Spirit of Sports. Toldy, take it away.
Yeah, thank you for that, Nick. It's a really exciting episode today. We actually have every podcast co-host so far in the history of Spirited Sports in the room with us here today. We have myself, Toldy Kakaletris here, alongside Stephen Lucas, Elias Drakos, Nicholas DiCicco, and Todd Ashdua. Special shout out to Stephen. Made the long commute over here to join us in studio for the first time ever. Stephen, just lay it down for us here. What are your thoughts? What are you making of everything thus far?
Man, this has been awesome so far. I appreciate the invite from you guys. It's always a pleasure to come and do the podcast when the opportunity presents itself. You guys have been very welcoming, show me around, and I'm excited for this pod. It's going to be a good one. So thank you, boys.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. You're a great guest, Stephen. And I love working with everyone here. So this is going to be a great episode. But Nick, I'll pass it back over to you.
Yeah, let's start it off in the MLB and a World Series for the ages this year, going to game 7, and the Dodgers are back-to-back champs. What are our thoughts here on this?
This has got to be one of the best World Series I've ever watched, besides the Cubs winning it when they faced Cleveland. What was that, 2016, I believe?
No.
This truly went down to the wire. Game 7 in extra innings. Either team could have won this series, and heartbroken for the Jays, but congratulations to the Dodgers. They grinded and they got the World Series.
Yeah, I completely agree with Steven. One of the best World Series we've seen in a long time. Yeah, that 2016 series was great. Even 2017, the Dodgers and Astros was a really good series as well. But yeah, it was a really good series. It was tough to see, the Blue Jays lose in that fashion. I got to give a lot of credit to the Dodgers, first team since the, I believe it was the 1998 to 2000 Yankees to win back-to-back World Series championships. Dodgers are a great team, arguably a dynasty, but the Blue Jays had a really great season, and I do think they definitely have a chance to be right back in this position next year.
Speaking of Blue Jays on the brink, that was a portion of the title of last week's episode, so if you didn't check that one out, that was a great episode as well. Elias, you had a prediction last week.
I was dead wrong. I said something to the lines of, I think the Jays are going to win it in 6, and I really believed that at the time, and to be honest, they almost had it. I mean, missed opportunities galore in game 6 and of course game 7 as well. So, unfortunate loss. It was, I agree, a World Series for the ages. This was one of the best World Series of all time and a tough outcome for the Jays for sure.
For me, I think it was the greatest World Series because of its compelling storylines, some of which were impossible to believe. An 18-inning game, a historic pitching performance by a 22-year-old, the first pinch-hit Grand Slam in World Series history, the first World Series game to begin with back-to-back home runs, and the first game-ending 7-4 double play in World Series history. Nick.
Yeah, just an incredible series from beginning to end. That Barger Grand Slam was just crazy. The history of the World Series has been going on for a long, long time. And to have something like that, a pinch-hit Grand Slam for the first time in World Series history, that's something for the record books. And it is. Like, this is something crazy.
So the Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, wins World Series MVP. Todd, your thoughts?
Yeah, Yamamoto was absolutely fantastic in this series. And honestly, throughout the whole playoffs, right? He had besides that one game against the Phillies in game 3 in the division series, he was lights out. I mean, he had a complete game against Milwaukee in the NLCS, had that complete game against Toronto in game 2, helped save the Dodgers season in game 6, and then literally the night after coming out and throwing basically 30 pitches in relief to win game 7 as well. Just a fantastic performance by him. One of the best pitching performances I think we've ever seen in MLB playoff history. So shout out to Yamamoto for sure.
Completely agree with you there, Todd. I mean, to pitch how he pitched in game 6 to force a game 7, Then to come into Game 7 and throw just under 40 pitches when he pitched 90 pitches the previous night, it's almost unheard of in the MLB. And to do it in Game 7 with the same velocity, same spin rate on his pitches, it's unheard of. And kudos to Yamamoto, and he's proven why he's one of the best in the MLB and probably the Dodgers' ace as far as I'm concerned.
Elias?
You didn't think it got any better than Ohtani. Well, it just did, right? Like, I mean, what Yamamoto did was unheard of. I mean, pitching starting the day prior, seven innings, and then coming in the next day, and granted it's Game 7 and everybody's available, but to just pitch the way he did was, like, I don't know, insane. Much respect and a lot of credit has to go to him for this Dodgers World Series win, and it shows with the MVP title.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just crazy to see that, first of all, well-deserved that Yamamoto did win World Series MVP after a historic performance that included pitching in Game 6 and 7 on 0 days rest, as we mentioned, to seal the Los Angeles Dodgers' second consecutive championship. Now, I'm going to pose the question out there, and I want to hear all of your thoughts, and then I'll chime in afterwards. Will the Dodgers get the three-peat?
No.
Why?
Because the Jays are going to win next year. That's my reasoning, right? The Jays are going to run it back with the same core. It's going to be a Jays Dodgers World Rematch. Series, and the Jays are going to pull it off next year because they're going to have more experience. That's why.
I like that, Steven.
I like that, Elias. But what if the Dodgers get better in free agency this offseason? What if they add a Kyle Tucker to their lineup,
boy?
Right. So you got to think of that too. But if I had to take a guess here, I'm going to go no. I don't think they're going to win it next year.
Nick.
I think for me, I'm going to say no. I think we're going to see a surprising contender come out of the NL.
I'm actually going to say yes. I think we almost saw in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs, they fell just short of that. But I think the Dodgers are going to get it done.
Do I think the Dodgers will get the three-peat? Yes. For the Jays, though, even if Santander is healthy next year and Barrios is in the pitcher as well, the Jays need to bolster things up here. I think their bullpen needs some work for next year. Guys like Little and at times Fluharty, I think, left something to be desired on the mound. But, you know, let's see with the Blue Jays, right? It was an exciting World Series. I think 51 million people was the average viewership in the U.S., Canada, and Japan in the World Series. So a lot of attention on this year's World Series, and I'm sure it'll be for next year's. Todd, your thoughts on Ernie Clement?
Yeah, I think he was one of those like glue guys all season long for the Blue Jays, and especially in the playoffs, like you mentioned, just how consistent he was. I felt like every time he was at bat, it was like he was going to get on base, he was going to do something productive for the team. And then defensively, too, he was amazing. I thought he was going to get a gold glove. I was actually kind of surprised he didn't, but yeah, he's great. I think he's great defensively, he's great offensively, and I think he's going to be a big part of the Blue Jays' future moving forward.
Steven, anything to add in there for Clement?
I mean, he's a true utility player. I mean, there's not one organization in the MLB that doesn't want a player like Ernie Clement in their lineup where they can utilize in different positions defensively. And almost, you know, when he's up to bat, I mean, he's going to hit. He's going to get you that sac fly. He's going to get you that single. He's just so consistent, and I'm hoping he could have an even better year next year than he did this year.
Elias, why don't you tell us the latest with John Schneider?
Yeah, John Schneider is one of the finalists for AL Manager of the Year. I mean, rightfully so. I mean, he's taken this team to all new, like a whole new height, I guess you could say. I mean, this year, nobody was expecting them to do that well this year. So I think that the fact that he's in contention for Manager of the Year, and I think he deserves to win it.
Yeah, Schneider has been in this organization. Okay, he's been with the Blue Jays for a little bit, but he's been in the organization in the minor leagues for a long time. And I think that's what goes to show the culture change in this organization. Knew these guys growing up in the system and really developing in the system. And he knew what to expect from these guys coming into the major leagues. I think that had a lot to do with it.
That's a very good point, Nick. Very good point.
Now, Steven, sticking to the topic of the Jays, but taking it from Schneider to Bieber. Steven, I know you've got Bieber fever. Let's get into it.
Yeah, so Shane Bieber has opted in and going to exercise his $16 million option with the Toronto Blue Jays, keeping him a Blue Jay next year. This is huge for the Blue Jays. You look at their top, their three projected starters next year, Gausman, Yesavage, Bieber. That's elite. And that rotation could get even better if they add someone in free agency, possibly a lefty. We don't know who, but just imagine what that rotation could be. And the fact that Shane Bieber took a huge pay cut to stay with the Blue Jays. I mean, he was projected to get $150 million over 5 years in a MLB free agency, which actually opened as we're shooting this podcast today. And it shows you that he wants to see it through with the Jays. He believes in this group, and he wants to run it back next year.
Yeah, Bieber didn't quite return to the heights of his Cy Young Award-winning season in 2020, but he flashed the same elite control and strong secondary pitches that made him one of the game's best right-handed pitchers prior to his surgery. His 3.19 ERA from 2018 to 2024 ranked 22nd among all qualified starters in that span. Elias.
Yeah, I think that Shane Bieber coming back is a great move for the Jays. As you said, took a pay cut to be back here. Huge. He adds so much depth to this rotation. I mean, Gausman, Yesavage, Bieber, three amazing pitchers right there, world-class pitchers, we could even argue, and the way they are pitching this postseason, especially Yesavage. All three of them, though, I can't even just, you know, circle out Yesavage there. All three of them pitch really, really well for the Jays. And yeah, you're hoping that, you know, they can run it back next year and that he'll play a huge part, you know, hopefully heading into the postseason next year as well.
Nick, out of the free agents that are, you know, in that position right now for the Jays, not necessarily who do you want to come back or not want to come back. Who do you think will return and who do you think won't? I mean, outside of Bieber, because we already know that he is.
For me, I think Max Scherzer is going to come back.
Interesting. Why?
I think it's just unfinished business. It's just unfinished business. We saw the post that he made on social media, what was it, yesterday, day before, about his love for the city and his family's love for the city.
Yeah, I think him and his wife put something out there very complimentary of Toronto.
Yeah. I think there's unfinished business there. He's 41, so, you know, his career, there's not much left in it, I don't think. So, for me, why move away?
IKF, it's interesting, because he was a guy that they had picked up end of August, early September.
They reacquired him.
Yeah. Reacquired him. And, you know, I thought he was more going to be just a bit more of a depth piece. Wasn't going to see a lot of playing time. Of course, he saw a lot of playing time when it came to the postseason, and I don't think if you had asked IKF that if he thought he was going to see that much playing time, that he would agree that, you know, he was going to play that much. But should they re-sign him? Maybe. I'll leave it at maybe, because like, he's one of those guys that, you know, he's a great piece to have, more of a utility-ish guy, you know, but...
Role player,
I think. I don't know if they want to re-sign him. Maybe they will.
Jays picked him up off waivers in late August from the Pirates, and, you know, I'm sure IKF, like everyone else in the Jays organization, still has that taste of the World Series in their mouth, right? So I'm sure IKF, as well as everyone else, wants to be back there in the World Series.
He loves Canada, too. Sorry. Yes. I think he loves being here.
He loved being a Jay, no doubt.
He loved being a Jay, yeah.
His second stint here, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the one player everybody's wondering about right now, Bo Bichette, who is currently on the market right now as a free agent.
Well, there's some breaking news in there as well. The Jays did offer him a qualifying offer.
That's big.
Todd, your thoughts on Bichette. Where are you at with everything?
I hope the Blue Jays can re-sign him. I really do. I mean, he's second best player on the team. Arguably the best hitter, this pure hitter on the team. He's always getting on base, and obviously he has power. He demonstrated that, obviously, in Game 7, that big home run. And he's just a really good player. The biggest thing is, I feel like, you know, where is he going to play? You know, is it going to be second base? Is it going to be shortstop? And I think that's going to kind of determine potentially where he goes and if he stays in Toronto. But I think the Blue Jays should definitely lock him up to a long-term extension.
Just, and this is courtesy of Shai Davidi. The Blue Jays extend Bo Bichette qualifying offer, the team says. It's a procedural move. Ensures if he departs as a free agent, the team receives a comp draft pick. Let's say Bichette does leave. Nick, what type of hole does that leave in the team?
That's a big hole to fill, especially offensively and defensively too. Such an incredible shortstop, although he did play second in the postseason. So, you know, a pretty great player on the field, whether it's in the batting box or in the infield.
All righty, now let's...
One thing before we move on.
I think Elias had something too. So you go and then throw it to him.
We spoke about John Schneider, breaking news from Ross Atkins' press conference. The Jays have picked up his 2026 option.
I mean, come on.
So he's sticking around.
No brainer. I mean, he deserves it, right? He's earned that. Nick, going into this previous season, the one that just passed, before obviously, you know, because I didn't personally know for sure that the Jays would be in the World Series. I thought that this team had, you know, signs that they could, but were you a lock going into the season to obviously do this with Schneider, bring him back?
I think it depended on postseason success. If they could get at least to the championship series, I say it was a go.
Let's say next season doesn't work out. How fast would you be to pull the trigger to give Mattingly Schneider's position?
For me, it's a pretty long leash.
Yeah, Steven?
Well, back to your first point, coming into this season with John Schneider. Mm-hmm. I think almost every Jays fan after last season when they finished last in the AL East was calling for a clean house. I mean, everyone wanted Atkins gone, everyone wanted Shapiro gone, and everyone wanted John Schneider gone. So bringing him back this year was gutsy, but it sure did pay off him to that World Series. I mean, I look back to, what was it, Game 4 versus the Yankees, where it was a bullpen game. And the way he managed the bullpen that game was almost a perfect job. And it's proven why he's up for Manager of the Year award. So, and to your second point for Don Mattingly, I don't personally think there's a chance where John Schneider gets fired after next season. I think he's got a little bit of a longer leash now after how well this season went.
Okay, I hear you there. Elias, last thoughts on baseball?
Yes, so, well, first of all, the way that they handled that bullpen game, first of all, very risky move. Second of all, handled it really well. So credit to our credit's due there. On the Bo Bichette thing real quick, MLB's qualifying offer allows teams to extend a one-year contract to certain free agents at a set salary of $22.025 million for the 2026 season. If the player accepts, they stay with the team for a year. Yep. If they don't, then, as you mentioned, they receive draft pick compensation. The last thing I want to mention, Don Mattingly is leaving the Jays organization, we found out. News. So if you want breaking news, they confirmed like not too long ago that he is actually going to leave.
I'm going to lie, sir, with the... with the quick refresh of his tab.
Shams.
Yeah, Elias.
The New York Post's John Heyman was first to report Mattingly's departure earlier today. And apparently Mattingly said kind of had a pretty good feeling that this was going to be my last year in Toronto.
There we go.
Unfortunate that he's leaving, but yeah.
Where's he going?
You know what? It doesn't say here, but...
It confirms departure?
Just confirmed his departure. So, yeah. I mean, who knows if he's even going to continue? It didn't necessarily say he was retiring altogether, so he could go somewhere else, or maybe he's just done and that's that.
One thing I do want to follow up to that is Don Mattingly is leaving the Blue Jays, as Elias mentioned, but he is not planning to retire.
Okay.
So, he wants a World Series, right?
Yeah, for sure. We'll you know, come back to that at another time and see how everything pans out there. But let's take it from the diamond to the ice. Nick, let's talk about Ovi. Let's talk about the Grade 8. Nick, let's get into it.
Breaking more records as he goes. The first player in NHL history to score 900 career NHL goals. What are our thoughts here?
Yeah, you know, Ovechkin, obviously, as we all know, one of the greatest players to ever, you know, step foot on the ice. Obviously, last year, you know, breaking Wayne Gretzky's record for most goals in NHL history. And yeah, you know, Ovechkin is just obviously an all-time great player. You know, it's incredible to see him continue to play at a high level and break these records. And I don't know, I'm curious to see how far he's going to be able to push this record out. You know, he's at 900 now. I don't know, I wouldn't put it past him for him to, you know, continue to extend that.
So. This is last year of his contract. So this could be his final season. So getting that 900 goals is a very, very good mark.
Yeah, no.
One that's going to be hard to beat as well.
For sure. I have to get this question out here. Any chance Ovi comes close to, if not hits, 1,000 goals? He needs 100 to do that.
He'd need at least another 2 seasons, I'd say.
You think he could do it in two seasons, including this one or after this one?
Depending on how. If he's healthy.
You think he can score 40 goals this year?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Ovechkin.
So Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin are set for their 99th all-time meeting. So 74 in the regular season, 25 in the playoffs, with each skater having collected more than 100 points against the other. Crosby with 46 goals, 79 assists, so 125 points. And then Ovi with 53 goals, 48 assists, 101 points. Nick, what's the latest with regards to Schaefer and the Islanders?
Matthew Schaefer, an incredible young NHL blue liner, and he becomes the youngest NHL blue liner with a multi-goal game. Great performance from him.
Steven, how high are you on Schaefer?
I'm very high on Schaefer, and I think he's living up to kind of like that franchise-altering player. You look at how Matthew Schaefer is playing. He is already one of the elite skaters in the NHL. He's got exceptional mobility, speed, and he's got an unbelievable ability to drive the play offensively and defensively. I mean, Schaefer also possesses a strong hockey IQ. Not many guys can say that at 18 years old in their rookie season. He has a high level of maturity and high work ethic, which has allowed him to contribute significantly to both ends of the ice. To me, he's one of the best defenseman in the NHL already. I do think there might be an opportunity for him to crack the Olympic lineup, to be honest with you.
Ooh.
Him and Celebrini.
Steven, let's talk about McDavid, though. What did he accomplish something recently? Tell us exactly what it was.
Yeah, Edmonton Oilers Connor McDavid becomes the fourth fastest NHL player to reach 1,100 points in his career currently. Listen, he's the best player in the NHL by far. No one, to me, comes close to him right now. It's a huge accomplishment. I think by the end of his career, we'll be talking about him as the greatest hockey player to ever play the game, surpassing Ooh. Wayne Gretzky, I personally think.
Wow.
To do that, to accomplish everything he wants to accomplish, he needs that Stanley Cup ring.
Yeah.
Todd, your thoughts on McDavid, the Oilers? Like, where are you at with the Oilers this year? They've been so-so. Are you thinking maybe they can have another trip to the Stanley Cup final? Do you see that in them at all?
Honestly, yeah, I do. I mean, yeah, they're kind of off to a slow start right now. Like, if the playoffs started, they wouldn't be in the playoffs. But last year was kind of the same thing, you know? And even the year before, they got off to a really slow start, and they were able to recover. So I wouldn't really pay too much attention. The season just began for them. Yeah, McDavid's obviously one of the all-time greats, like you said, Steven. But yeah, he does need that Stanley Cup ring. I think he'll probably need at least a couple as well to match up with Gretzky. I mean, I think he's definitely capable of it, for sure.
Elias, last thoughts on McDavid?
Yeah, I mean, to reach this, you know, special milestone is huge. I do agree with what you guys are saying about, you know, one or two Stanley Cup rings to add to that collection to kind of finish off the collection of amazing statistics, I guess you could say, for McDavid and awards and whatnot. And I think it's a great career that's only becoming better.
Right, let's take it now from the ice to the gridiron. It is second and goal time with Todd Ashdua in the building. So Todd, take it away. Let's talk about some trades at the NFL trade deadline.
T-O-D-D, Todd. Take it away, Todd.
Yeah, so we saw the NFL trade deadline come and go. And we saw a lot of interesting trades. But one of the biggest ones was the Dallas Cowboys trading for All-Pro and Pro Bowl defensive tackle Quinton Williams with the New York Jets.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Yeah, the Jets, you know, they traded away Quinton Williams, one of their franchise cornerstones on defense. And in return, they get Mazi Smith and a second-round pick and a first-round pick in 2027 from the Cowboys. An interesting flip in that, sticking point in that, the Jets actually can choose between which pick they want. So it can either be the Cowboys 2027 pick or the Packers pick from the Micah Parsons trade. I think it's a win-win trade, honestly. I don't think there's a loser in this. I think Dallas, you know, you get Quinton Williams in there, you know, along with Kenny Clark, who's a great player. They also already have Osa Odighizuwa, who's also a really underrated defensive tackle. Cowboys' defensive line is looking pretty good. But I also like this for the Jets. You get some extra picks. This is a team that really needs to rebuild. I feel like we've been saying that about the Jets for the last two decades. But it's like, you know, I feel like that's the move they needed to make. But yeah, I like this for both sides.
Let's talk about Sauce Gardner. Going on there?
Yeah, so another trade. The New York Jets is having a fire sale, the trade deadline, trading away All-Pro cornerback Sauce Gardner to the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for two first-round picks and also wide receiver Adonai Mitchell. This is a kind of an all-in move, I think, for the Colts. You know, this is a team that, you know, has got off to a 7-2 start, a surprising 7-2 start to the season. You know, really looking at their team, their biggest weakness was probably in the secondary at cornerback. Tre'Davious Ward's a pretty good player, but he's out with an injury right now, concussion he suffered during warmups, which was pretty unfortunate there. But I think, you know, with Ward coming back to full health, and then you got Kenny Moore, who's a good slot corner, and then Sauce Gardner, on the outside. I feel like that's a pretty good cornerback trio for the Colts, and we'll see what happens. I think if they can continue to play well on offense and get out to early leads with Jonathan Taylor running the ball and kind of keeping Daniel Jones out of those pass-heavy situations, I think the Colts can, they'll be a tough out in the AFC playoffs.
Stevie, are you a big believer in Danny Dimes?
He's played exceptional for the Colts thus far. I mean, I know last week was kind of an off week for him, but he's looked great, and he's leading a Indianapolis Colts team that is 7-2, and they're capable of winning the AFC right now and getting that number one seed. They're in position to do that after week 9. And now getting Sauce Gardner, which is a shutdown corner that they needed, and an ideal player for Lou Anarumo's savvy defensive scheme he runs in Indianapolis. So it's going to be interesting. One thing I want to add is Indianapolis Colts general manager Chris Ballard. I mean, he might be GM of the year. He signed Daniel Jones in the offseason, took a risk, and it's paid off so far. He drafted tight end Tyler Warren, who's been unreal for Indianapolis. And now he trades for Sauce Gardner, one of the best, if not the best, corner in the league. I mean, he's done an unreal job, so kudos to him.
So the Jacksonville...
That will do it for the end of this episode of Spirited Sports. A big thank you to our sports correspondent, Adam Fardella, for a great contribution to today's episode. That'll do it for the end of this episode of Spirited Sports. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.